Welcome to Parenting with Sisu, the podcast with an international perspective on family life in Finland.
Hey, and welcome to our new episode. Some women say childbirth is a euphoric experience, while others argue it is the worst pain of their life. There are as many childbirth stories as there are babies, but presumably all women wish and hope that their story will be a positive one. Some parents can't wait to start a new life with a baby, while others may worry about their life changing too much. In this episode, we want to go through all different ways how you can prepare for this joyous occasion in Finland and what kind of support systems are offered through Neuvola and other channels. Do you have any feelings about the birth?
Yeah, well, I had a lot of feelings. I think with our first one, when I got pregnant, it was instantly one of the first things that I thought, oh my god, I have to give birth.
Yeah.
It was one of my, I have to say, fears kind of forever. I think it's relatively natural that women are kind of scared of giving birth of the unknown, because it's something that you don't know. And we've seen a lot of movies include childbirth and so on. They're not always maybe the nicest.
But there it usually looks really easy.
I think it looks totally unnatural in comparison to what you really get in the end. But
think that movies portray a really good picture of childbirth.
One fun fact that I actually heard is that only 20% of the births start with the water breaking. And in the movie it's always like your water breaks and then it's like, oh my god, I'm in labor, and
I was waiting for that too.
I'm a good example. I happened to me twice, like, okay. I both my births started with the water breaking, which was, it's amazing because you know that, okay, now that's it, you don't have to guess,
now the contractions that mean.
Actually I must say that the first time I was really positive about the birth, like I wasn't scared. And I was really, I believed in my body knowing what it's doing. So many women do that all the time for centuries. I wasn't worried about that at all. The second one, it was a bit different. We talked about it before. Actually, after knowing what it is, I was a little bit more anxious for the second time. But yeah, it all went well.
I was terrified right away. I just had, I don't know, I heard so many different stories. And yeah, I was terrified. But what about your partners? Did they have same feelings as you did, or
did mine didn't really think about it.
Yeah, I think it's.
I think mine he was quite excited about it, but of course, and also scared because he didn't know kind of what's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it quite a bit. I can't even remember like in that much detail, but I think we talked about it, and I know that we did the birth plan together, mm-hmm. so that he knows what I wanted or didn't want. So. I think he, and I read a lot about it, even though not in the end, because I was like, okay, I don't want to have these kind of like horror stories in my head. Mm. But that's also the reason why I only Google kind of like positive birth experiences. Mm. So I just wanted to read and calm my nerves, kind of like that everything's going to be fine and I don't have to worry. And like La Bea said, it's the most natural thing in the world to give birth. And but I think it calmed both of our nerves. Mm.
Did you want to know more? Like, did you want to know a lot in advance?
I did. Yeah, I educated myself, I think, a lot. And I made a booklet for my partner that he took, or I put it in the bathroom because he spends a long time in the bathroom. So he would read there.
Oh my God.
He doesn't ever listen
to
the podcast.
Too much information.
So that he could read it there. And yeah, I made it, like I wrote. And then I cut out pictures and I glued them there and I made it look really nice so that it would be interesting for him to read, for him to, you know, also get in the mood. And we went to a private birth preparation class actually together. I think that was also very helpful for him to get an idea of what's actually going to happen.
That's a lot of effort you put into educating him. That's amazing, Rabia. That's really good. I also, like, I wanted to know, well, for me it was interesting because I wanted to know everybody's birth stories. I don't know why I was so interested in it, even though I was so afraid of it. So it was kind of like I was drawn to whatever I was afraid of. So I wanted to hear everybody's stories, but then at the same time, I had the biggest anxiety about the birth itself. So I would not be able to read anything about, you know, the actual process of birth, childbirth.
I can still not watch videos.
Yeah, so like I couldn't, you know, I just like closed down. I was like, I can't read anything.
But it's really interesting actually how we all react like differently. For me, it was especially after the first birth, I was like, okay, I know kind of what's coming, even though every birth is so different and it can be, one can be amazing, second one can be something totally different. But still, I had the feeling that, okay, I know what my body can do, I know what it's gonna hurt like. I think my biggest problem was being afraid of the pain because it was kind of an unknown pain.
Mm.
I didn't know what to compare it to, I didn't know kind of how it would feel because everybody tells you it feels so different than anything else. And it's true, but for me, it was as soon as it was something kind of familiar, I was okay with it. Even though I hated the pain and I took all the painkillers there are, or a lot of, like, the majority of them, and still, I wasn't, like, the fear wasn't there anymore. Yeah. And how about, Rabea, was there a time when you started worrying more? Like, maybe a few days before the birth, or before your due date, or weeks, or...
With the second one, with the first one, I was really chilled, well, for what I remember. I mean, mother's brain works in mysterious ways and you forget a lot about the not so nice stuff. But I think with the first one, I was rather chilled until the end. Like, I had this idea that my period pain is so horribly painful so that I almost faint every time, that birth is probably even more, but then there's the hormones that, you know, make it a little bit more natural. And I didn't worry, but the second one, I knew then what it feels like, and the first birth was already rather fast, but still, yeah, I didn't get any painkillers, so I was worried that the second time around I would again have this intense pain and not being able to get the painkillers. So yeah, when it got to the point where he was supposed to come out, I worried a little bit more, but yeah, it was unnecessary, it was... very fast. I had, I think, that pain for half an hour.
Okay, well, that's good. I think I worried kind of like consistent. I worried and not worried consistently throughout the pregnancy. So it kind of went funny when I was thinking about it, or if I spoke about it with someone, then it would stay with me and then I would worry. But if I was doing other things and I wasn't actively thinking about it, then I also wasn't actively worrying about it.
Yeah, it makes sense. You kind of distracted yourself with other everyday life things. I think that was similar for me, especially with the second one, because if I remember, for example, the last month before giving birth to the first one, I was on maternity leave. I can remember how pissed I was that I had to stop working. Because I'm like, what am I going to do now every day? Like, I just literally laid on the sofa, watched Netflix, and was eating and just counting the minutes.
Oh, those days.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
It's not bad because I didn't know what to expect afterwards.
Yeah.
But now in comparison to the second baby, when I was the last month of pregnancy, I mean, the day before I gave birth and the day before I went into labor, I was at the playground, it was really warm outside, I was there taking care of our older son who was running around and doing crazy things, and I didn't even think about, like, okay, when am I gonna give birth now, I can't wait that it happens, and, like, time is going so slow. No, it wasn't, it was the exact opposite.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's the worrying phase, maybe, to get back to that. The only thing I worried about with the second one was because at week 37, they actually saw that he flipped again and that he was in breech.
Mm.
So that's when I started to stress, because it's something that I did not expect, something that I wasn't kind of ready for. And I'm this kind of planner type of person, so I have to have everything planned out and I have to know everything what's happening and so on. So I didn't think of this.
The baby didn't follow your plan.
No, the baby didn't follow my plan. Not the first time, not the last time. But yeah, then afterwards when everything was okay and so on, I didn't have to worry anymore. But still, that was one thing that kind of really hit me.
How did you feel about having a baby and being a mom, then, how it would change you and the family?
With the first one, when I was about, I think it was like 5-6 months pregnant, I had this phase of like 2 weeks or so, I was crying every day. I can remember that I was so overwhelmed that I didn't understand how I could be like a mom and how I could possibly do everything right, which I know now is not possible. But at that point, I think, two big expectations for everything that I was planning to do, birth-wise and just having a baby, just preparing everything. I want everything to be perfect and everything to be ready. And then it just overwhelmed me at some point. So I can remember my partner listening to a lot of, complaining and a lot of crying. He was really there for me, and I'm really happy about that. But when I think back to that, it was really mentally kind of like a challenging time.
Yeah. I had a point like that as well. I think that, like, this, it was something that I always wanted, and I always thought that this is exactly my thing. You know, when I was younger, it was always in my head that I would be a mom and nothing but a mom. It changed already a little bit before I got pregnant, that, yeah, I had a job that I really liked. So I didn't plan on staying at home anymore for the rest of my life after having kids. But at least, I always thought that this is my thing. And I had a phase during pregnancy where I wasn't feeling good at all. Like, I was nauseous and I had pain and nothing major, but still it made me wonder, is this actually what I'm made for? And I came home one day, I was, 4 or 5 months pregnant, and I said, I don't want this baby anymore. I can't do this. Like, can we go back to before pregnancy?
Yeah.
And yeah, I was also really lucky that my partner reacted like really nicely and calmed me down and so on. But yeah,
I think maybe many women go through these thoughts during pregnancy. For me, it was also very conflicting. On the other hand, you know, I was in my 30s and I was like finally feeling super mature. You're like, hey, I'm finally in this, you know, stage of my life where, you know, I can be a mom, you know, my life is fairly secure and stable. And so so I was like very ready, but then at the same time, again, I'm in my 30s, and that kind of means that I have already built my life, right? I'm used to certain things, and I'm living this like hedonistic lifestyle, which is all about me, you know, having fun.
Yeah.
So of course, that also means that you would have to kind of, I don't know, like lose that life, or it felt like that when you're pregnant. But I guess it just takes time, you know, when you become a mom, to start balancing those things, two lives.
Yeah,
I was actually always thinking that the kids would be especially my thing, since I hated being alone. Nowadays, I can't imagine anything greater than being alone.
Being alone is my dream.
Being alone without kids.
Yeah, for sure. Like, alone.
Yeah.
Just me. The completely thing that I hated
alone.
The most before.
Yeah,
is
the dream.
But the one more thing that actually came to my mind when I was pregnant with the second one was the fear of how am I going to be able to love another kid as much as I love my first one.
Mm.
I had this like really challenge in my head or in my heart that was like really aching me, because I just couldn't imagine it. I loved Hendrik, our older son, like so much, and I just couldn't imagine how it would be possible for another child to arrive and that I would love him in the same way or like the same amount. It was very challenging for me, and I was really, again, like struggling with that kind of thought throughout the pregnancy.
Mm.
But then he was born, and there was just enough space in my heart for both.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's something I didn't worry about at all. I had more the worry that because my first one was so attached to me, that it would get difficult after the second one is born, that we would have struggles there. But actually it went quite nicely. But yeah, I think having a second one, or then third and fourth, probably it doesn't really change much. But that's also one thing where people probably worry.
I disagree, I'm sure. Some people who have 3 or 4 will tell you that it makes a big difference.
Oh, it does? Yeah. I heard that actually at some point they just, you know, they go with the flow, and it's nothing. Yeah, I can't still imagine that. I don't want to get there.
I, yeah,
I can tell you in a few years.
We're waiting.
We have discussed our feelings about our upcoming births, so let's now go through everything that comes to our mind about the kind of support you can get. The first and foremost place that supports you through your pregnancy is Neovola. We spoke about Neovola in one of our previous episodes, so if you didn't listen to it yet, go listen. But the idea of Neovola is that it doesn't only monitor your pregnancy, but also provides the support and help that you need physically or mentally, also to prepare for birth.
Yeah, let's think about how it went. Did you speak about the preparation for childbirth in Neovola? And when it was your first time, what did they bring up, and what support did you get?
Well, first of all, the websites. Honestly, there really wasn't a time I had a checkup where my novella nurse wouldn't mention those websites to me at least once or twice. Do you know the websites I'm talking about? Yes. Okay, so they're naistala.fi and also Perhetuki on Helsinki page, but I think every city has one of those family coaching pages.
That must be a new thing in Tampere. They didn't
really
have that when I was first time pregnant.
Well, but anyways, these websites have all possible reading material on childbirth and preparation for childbirth, other issues, and video material. So go check them out.
Yeah, we're gonna put them down in our blog post so you can look at
it's just something that really stuck with me from every single visit.
Yeah, and the little leaflets where they would write these websites and give it to you. Like, do you know about these already? Like, yeah, from the last 20 times.
And the next one, did you read this?
I was like,
did you guys actually go and check those websites?
I checked, but I never read through them. I was a bit too, I don't know.
I watched some videos.
The only website that I really enjoyed was the one from HUS, so the Helsinki hospital. And I really loved that one because it included videos of not per se giving birth, but everything that was kind of connected to it. So maybe about videos about different, first how the ward looks like, birthing rooms, how they look like. It was kind of like a virtual
visit
to the hospital. Yeah. And then the doctors were also, or the midwives were talking about like different things that will occur during childbirth. So for example, if you take an epidural, how the process is with getting it and so on. So I found that really nice, especially because it was coming kind of from the people that will be there and will be doing it. So it seemed really professional. And those I really enjoyed a lot.
Oh. Yeah. I checked the videos because in Germany it's quite usual that you go actually to visit the hospital that you're going to give birth in, and you have to so basically sign up there before already when you notice that you're pregnant, because the waiting lists are quite long. And you go and check maybe several hospitals until you decide which one you want to give birth in, and you have a choice. And in here, it's not exactly how it works. Like, you have, well, in Helsinki area, you have the two hospitals that you can choose from, and then it's a bit up to the availability. I was planning to give birth in Espoon Sairaala, the new hospital, which was just finished before I gave birth the second time. And we were on our way there, and I called, and they said that they are full. And if I want a midwife to assist me during birth, then we should turn around and go to Naisten Klinika. And so we did. But yeah, I watched the videos online of both hospitals to decide which one I want to give birth in, and ended up then in the one that was available.
You can also actually go for a hospital visit in Finland too, but I'll talk about it a little later.
What else? If you're a first-time parent, the Neuvola offers a few standard services. For example, the family coaching, which includes several meetings and classes, as well as physiotherapy between weeks 15 and 25. And you can even get a free dental health session, which I think I got even for the second one. I don't know if it is because we changed the place we lived that they offered this again. But yeah, that's at least
part. Did you use the other ones, physiotherapy and the family coaching?
I didn't use any of them.
You didn't? But no. You didn't go to the parenting classes?
We did the parenting classes, yes. The first one. The second one, I think we never went back because I found it very, unnecessary, not useful for myself. But the physiotherapy, I can remember that we were talking about it, but I'm not sure now what happened anymore, if it was full or what it was, but I never got physiotherapy or these free dental care things.
I actually would have really wanted to go to the physiotherapy session, but I missed it because there are certain weeks between when you need to go, and
maybe
I just,
that was for me too, that we were traveling or something.
That was it for me. It was like a bit of a pity because I wanted to go. Basically in physiotherapy, it's 1.5 hour session, and the group discusses the effects that pregnancy has on the body. You also receive information about exercising during pregnancy, how to relax your back, how the pelvic floor functions, and how to get fit.
Or doesn't.
Yeah. But so those would have been interesting things.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I agree, and it's really great that they offer this as a standard service for pregnant women.
Wasn't available in Tampere.
Yeah.
Get that there.
And the parenting classes are basically, I think that the first one, or this, I don't remember, is it the first one that's about breastfeeding, basically, and the second one's about childbirth. But like, I remember that one of them was
care,
just
child care. Like, one is about child care and the other one is about childbirth.
Yeah,
I can remember that in one of them. So I assume the first one that we went to, there was a family.
There
was a couple with a relatively small baby, and they were talking about their experience, how it went during childbirth, about the birth plan that we're also going to talk about a bit later, and so on. So that was a bit interesting, but then I don't know. The rest was just like, look, this is how the baby comes out, and I was like, okay.
Also, part of that online material, you can find parents' relationship and sexuality.
Did you check those?
My
experience from 5 years ago in Tampere is maybe a bit different than your recent experience in the capital area. But yeah, we had only, it was two sessions that were like half an hour. And it was only presentation. And yeah, the first one was about child care after the baby is born. And that you need to give a bath to the baby and feed it. And like these kind of things where I also thought that, okay, I thought this was self-evident, but maybe it is not to everyone. And the second one then about the childbirth, and I met my partner. He didn't come to basically any Nervola visits, but those classes I made him come. And even he knew basically what was already told there. So.
That's a good point. Even he knew. But also part of that family coaching is, or are those playground meetings afterwards. So the whole family coaching happens within your district. So all the other families who are part of that, of those classes, they live somewhat close to you. So in a way, it's nice that you can continue with those same families, you know, like at playgrounds.
Did you get introduced?
I didn't, but I know people that have kept in contact.
Yeah, for us, I can remember that we had to put like our emails down to that list. And I never got an email from that.
No, me neither.
I was never contacted for those groups, so I was just like, okay, this in theory it's a really good thing, but in practice it doesn't really work.
Yeah. I think maybe people just go themselves to the playground sessions, so if you would have gone there,
I didn't even know when the sessions were.
Yeah, well, you can find them on those websites.
So it's
that worth, never checked.
Really worth checking out
really
the
websites.
Really
worth checking the websites. Yes, remember, we're in Finland, you need to check things yourself.
Self-service.
Yes.
Nothing
rely
comes
on yourself.
It comes for free, but not without effort.
Yes.
Now it's a little bit different due to Corona, I think. The parenting classes are online, and
but
hopefully
it's just temporary.
Very hopefully.
No,
it's
I have
just
to say
temporary.
That would be really convenient because you don't have to actually go there. For that, like, a little time, because it's not like people, like, socialize in those sessions. Even before Corona, nobody ever talked to me or my partner there, so...
Yeah, I didn't get...
Maybe it's
to
even easier online, because you could switch, like, you could have the other people's names and emails, and you would see them there. It would be maybe a possibility to, like, make some kind of chat, and then it would start from there.
Connect.
So Nervola would, connect and say Facebook and so on. So maybe it would be even easier than, like, in real life, where Finnish people are not that keen on...
Yeah. Yeah, but that's weird that I also never got connected to anyone. I even asked specifically to Neovola when I was pregnant second time, and we had moved to Espoo, and they just said that you can find on Facebook probably
but
some
one
parents
thing that actually just now came to my mind, we have to mention that it's only in Finnish. I asked back then if it's possible to have these sessions in English, and there was no. So it's in Finnish. So if you don't speak Finnish, it's also not very kind of like
useful.
Very useful. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the websites are not as comprehensive and detailed. Yeah, in English.
Yeah. Mm. So that's actually something that's really important for maybe our listeners who don't, in majority, speak Finnish. Okay, so let's not forget about the Neuvola nurses themselves. So they aren't there just to monitor us, but also kind of to offer the support to the extent that they can. And as we mentioned, they may refer us to internet pages. They could also suggest books to read or offer other reading material. But they can actually also provide discussion support. I think it, of course, depends on the nurse and on your relationship with the nurse. But if the relationship is right, the nurse can offer and kind of serve as your counselor, some kind of type of therapist.
Yeah, that's really true. Personally, I don't have that relationship with my Neuvola nurse. She always sends me to see different specialists, which is totally fine with me. But I have a friend who actually had a very close relationship with her Neuvola nurse, who she describes pretty much as her therapist. So I thought that was pretty sweet.
That is. I don't even have a Neuvola nurse.
Yeah.
Ours is always constantly changing, we talked about those services that are automatically offered to everyone. We mentioned that it's good to check out the websites and that it needs a little bit of digging it out yourself, and that it's not always that easy in English. We will link a lot of useful links to the show notes and to the blog on our website. Some things are just offered for first-time parents, like those preparation classes, but there are also some other services that you can get before birth when needed.
Yeah, one thing that really immediately comes to mind is something called therapeutic work for families of infants. And though it's meant for families of infants, it's also meant for families who are expecting those infants. So some parents may experience feelings of fear, worries, anxiety, or insecurities regarding the pregnancy or childbirth, or then the big changes that a baby would bring to their life. So in these situations, it's important to have an opportunity to talk to a professional. And I think it's really amazing that the service is offered through Neuvola. It's basically a therapist or a psychologist that you go and talk to. And if you're experiencing any of these feelings and the counseling that you're getting from your Neuvola nurse isn't enough, you could just contact therapeutic work and seek help from there.
This is actually really amazing. I did not know about this before. Like, I always read this name and it's called, like you said, therapeutic work for families of infants. And I was always like, okay, families of infants, you don't even think that it would be included. Well, you don't even have your infant kind of in your hands. So that's definitely one of the things that I would have used. Like I mentioned previously, these like fears that I had.
I used it, and I have to say it was really, really helpful. Yeah.
Did you Google it, or did you get the help from Neuvola straight?
No, I got help from Neuvola. So basically, as I mentioned, my Neuvola nurse, she wasn't the kind that would provide me counseling, but she was the kind that would refer me to different places. So she would be very caring in that sense. She saw very early on that I was afraid of giving birth and I was having some challenges, you know, what I was saying with my conflicting feelings, like kind of saying goodbye to my old life and whatnot, and, you know, becoming a mother. I mean, I'm sure most women, you know, have issues that they need to deal with, you know, before becoming a mom. And it was really helpful. I'm really grateful for my Neuvola nurse that she guided me through. She just said, like, why don't you contact therapeutic work?
And
you
can so just... asking is the best way to get the
really
service.
Nice. Yeah. I can remember that she would just ask me, oh, how are you feeling? And I would be like, well, I'm feeling good, you know. Overall, the majority of time I was feeling good. So to her, I didn't even talk about these things because I didn't feel like I would really feel comfortable talking to her about some of these things that I like cried a lot because of some issues that I mentioned before and so on. So I think for me, the one reason why I didn't open up is that I didn't feel like opening up to her. I didn't feel that she really kind of cares.
Uh-huh.
So I always just said, yeah, I'm feeling fine. So I never got any help. But
Same for me.
But that's the thing again, like we're here in Finland, they do have a lot of services, but in a way you need to ask for them. Yeah. So it's
It's really hard. I mean, I can understand the thought behind it, especially because everything kind of like for free, so they can't just give it out to whoever if they don't really need it. But I have to say, in some certain situations, it's really hard for me to know if I'm feeling too much in a certain, let's say, negative way, or in a way that I didn't
It doesn't
have
to be
feeling.
Negative at all. It can be conflicting.
Yeah,
it can be worrying.
These kind of things,
it can be anxiety. It's not negative.
But I have to be the one
to decide if
who
you need
if
the,
I
yeah.
need it or not. Mm-hmm. And if you're in this kind of situation, they as professionals should be the ones that see it in you and feel it in you and should like poke a bit around there.
Yeah,
because
mine,
that's what
yes,
she's there.
That's what my new
And mine was
did.
Just like, okay, you're fine, great. But I wasn't completely.
Yeah.
So
But it's good to know the services that are offered, and
Definitely,
I think then it's
yes.
easier to decide that, or you can try to ask for it, and if the nurse then says that, no, you don't qualify, or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
But
at
least,
you know about it.
Well, what about those forms? I think that this is how my novel nurse kind of understood that I wasn't feeling so great, is basically, like, the forms that we needed to fill.
But for me, the forms were, I don't know, I was always, like, in a totally green kind of section, and everything is fine, but I still think that because the questions are always formulated, as far as I can remember, it was either, you know, you either feel good or you feel bad, but there's no in-between, kind of like. So if it was, let's say, as extreme as for you, it wasn't for me, but that meant that I'm fine. But I personally didn't find myself feeling totally fine.
No, I think that there were like five different options.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
But
it also depends a lot on the day you have when you go to
exactly,
Neuvola.
Exactly.
So for me, it was, I had a lot of really horrible days, but usually when I went to Neuvola, I was fine and I felt like, yeah, everything's cool. Also after birth. That I remember, I usually gave my birth an 8 or 9 even, and at some points I was still so frightened about the whole experience that it made me took me a while afterwards to be fine and to think about a second one. But the day I went to Neuvola, I was somehow feeling fine about it. So it doesn't just one visit doesn't reflect
exactly
it so well.
Exactly.
No.
But in any case, I hope that this information will help at least some of our listeners and just be very
persistent
in
asking.
Yeah. Just be open, not persistent. You could just be open with your Neuvola nurse and they can refer you to therapeutic work. There are also a lot of services for dealing specifically with the fear of birth. And I was a bit terrified of childbirth, so I wanted to mention a couple of things, and I think I used pretty much everything that's available to deal with my fear. So the services are slightly different depending on the city you live in, but in Helsinki there's at least 4 that I can think of that are related specifically to the fear of giving birth. I'm just gonna list here. So first, for example, you can have a one-on-one meeting with a midwife to go through childbirth step by step. Then second, there's also this special class offered to the first-time parents, which it takes place in a delivery room at the hospital. So Rabia, when you mentioned visit to the hospital, so this is, for example, if you have fear of birth, you can go and visit the hospital and also have this class there.
That's nice.
It's a very extensive one. It's almost 4 hours and you go through like every step, you know, of labor. And you can try out like they show you all different equipment in the delivery room. They talk about their purposes and what they're used for, so it just like gives you a lot of, you know, like this security, like you understand where you're gonna go, you understand what is the environment where you're gonna like give birth.
I have to say, this would be very good to have for everybody.
Yeah, actually, it used to be. It used to be for everybody. I mean, for all first-time parents. It used to be back when, but because of cost savings, you know.
But even if it would be a virtual thing, you know, if they would make a video of you just seeing all these things.
I wonder if they have.
But that's
we need to check those websites.
But that's actually what we got in the private birth preparation class.
Then. So in this class, you also go through every possible pain alleviation method, and they explain everything, how it's used, what for. And so it's really comprehensive and insightful. I thought it was great. I really, like, for me, it gave me a lot of trust. And then third, you can also join this support group called Nyttryhmä. I don't know if it's anywhere else except Helsinki, but I also was part of one. And this group would typically have about 7 women who meet weekly for almost 2 months with a psychologist to discuss their feelings, to prepare for childbirth. And in this group, you also have a shorter version of that same class, you know, inside the hospital and the delivery room. So it was actually interesting because I did it twice. And then you can also meet with a doctor to talk about the delivery options. So in Finland, you can't have a C-section if just for fun, or like not nobody has it for fun, but you can just request a C-section, right? So you need to have a proper reason. So there could be medical reasons, but one of the reasons is also if you're afraid of giving birth, you could be allowed a C-section. So before, like at the end of your pregnancy, you're gonna meet with your doctor to discuss, like, okay, do you want to have a C-section, or are you gonna try to give birth naturally?
What if you're afraid of C-section? Like, for me, this was the most horror ever, that
then
I would need to
perfect.
Go into C-section.
Yeah, me too. I was also so afraid that, oh my god, what if it ends like in C-section? I don't want to have a C-section. Of course, if it's,
yeah,
unless it's,
well,
really
nobody,
really necessary,
especially
but
in Finland, nobody wants you to have a C-section.
Yeah.
So they will do everything for you not to have
I'm
one.
Actually super happy about that, because
yeah,
previously when I mentioned our second boy to be breech, we had this discussion with the doctor, and they told me that I have like a few options, and that they don't just do C-section straight away. Like, for example, they do in the US, they don't give you other options. They're usually like, okay, breech baby, it's C-section.
Yep.
So I was really worried about that, especially after reading that it is possible even to give birth naturally to like breech babies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends, she actually gave birth to a breech baby naturally. And I got these different options and of like this external turning of the baby. Which in the beginning seemed like very, very scary, but then the procedure itself was very short, very pain-free, and it worked. But all of that is, I think, really, really great that they kind of take all that into consideration, that they don't just rush straight away, oh, C-section.
Yeah.
Because it's not better for the mom or for the kid.
Yeah.
In many cases,
yeah,
it can be solved differently.
Mm. Okay. So is the dad part in all of this, or is it just for the
actually
mom?
yes that the dad is part of all of this. So I especially for the class, so when I went there for a class, your partner can be there with you, but also when you meet with this Nyttryhmä, there was this one session when we had our partners with us.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, like, he wasn't there all the time, but there was one session with the partner.
But that's really good. So
yeah,
he also, or the partners also realize, okay, that this is a real thing,
yeah,
that you're not maybe overreacting or so,
yeah,
because there is for sure maybe partners who don't understand it in that way.
Yeah.
Just
this is probably also something that needs to be requested separately in English, if
I assume so.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess there's a lot happening at the moment with more and more foreigners, that there's more and more offered in English, but it's a rather slow process. So knowing about what's available in Finnish, if you have issues like that, just go and ask for it in English, and the more that ask for it, then hopefully at some point that will be offered.
And maybe it is offered, and maybe they just don't advertise it that much, because...
Well, at least maybe, like, if you really want to have services in English, then you would go and seek something privately.
Yeah, that was a nice bridge. Thank you, Katja. There's a good amount of services provided by Neopola, but there's also a lot of services available that you can book privately. I was actually one of those that looked for every support possible, especially outside of Neuvola, because, I mentioned this in previous episodes, that I wasn't such a big fan of Neuvola in my first pregnancy, and I wanted more and more, especially more extensive information, and also information in English. At that point, my Finnish wasn't that great yet. I mentioned that also already. The first thing that I did was that I booked a birth preparation class, And this is something similar to what Katja mentioned. Now, previously, that, well, we didn't go see the hospital, obviously, because you can't just go there and check out the birthing rooms. But we met in another space, and the person who was giving the birth preparation class was showing what's happening during birth, which kind of hormones are included, and what does it, how does it make you feel, or how can it make you feel, how does it all happen, how can the partner support, and all this, also talking about pain medication and different kinds of options that you can do and that the partner can do to help with the pain. So that was amazing, and I wish this would be part offered for everyone in Germany, for example. It is part of this midwife service that is covered by the health insurance, and everyone I know took birth preparation classes, so I didn't want to miss out on that, and booked it then privately, and I definitely don't regret it.
Yeah, I think this is something that we see in movies.
Yeah.
That we don't know about in Finland. But yeah, first I was actually expecting something like what you just now mentioned from these birth preparation classes or these family preparation classes from Neuvola. I thought it's going to be
the
something
family
like
coaching.
That. Yeah,
I
family
thought
coaching.
So too.
I was expecting, okay, we're going to learn about all these emotions, and also I thought that we're going to learn how to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's such a big thing in movies, that you're like, okay, you breathe now. I went to give birth, and I had no idea what to breathe and how to breathe. But then in the end, like, it wasn't really necessary, and
took all the medication possible.
I took all the pain medication, and I had really quick births, and the midwife there just told me breathe like this and not like that, and it worked instantly. So I don't think that you really need, and when it comes to this breathing, like you see in movies, this like preparation courses where you breathe there for like months before. No, I don't think it's necessary, but it really sounds amazing, and I think it's really interesting to know that these kind of services are possible here in Finland, just on a private side.
So what else did you do privately?
I had a doula for my first birth, and for the second birth, then I also went in Espoo to see one doula. She had a small birth preparation class, and we talked, and she was basically on call, that in case my partner couldn't come, that I could have called her to come with me to the hospital. And I researched online a lot. I joined Facebook groups to get information. That's pretty much what I did.
Yeah, doulas. I've heard a lot about them, actually, but never really understood why would you need one. Maybe it's a stupid question, but
No, this is actually a good question. Like, for me, it was for support before, during, and after birth, for becoming a mom, and it's also especially nice for dads. A doula is an experienced woman who can help, for example, with pain relief, supporting you in your wishes, and being in contact with the hospital personnel to support you during the birth. For me, it was the fact that I have this puking phobia, and I was really, really scared that I would feel sick during birth, and I needed someone who would take me serious then and not say that, yeah, this is totally normal, just, let it all out. And as I mentioned now already a couple of times, that my Finnish wasn't that great, and I didn't really want my partner to all the time translate during the birth, and it felt more natural to communicate in our language, which is English, and then the doula would be the contact person to the hospital personnel, and having someone who actually knows about the process and who can offer ideas about pain relief and can explain a little bit what's going on felt super comforting to me. And that was actually also how it went. Like, I had already contractions for 3 hours before the doula arrived, but they were rather, I wouldn't say pain-free, but not that bad. Very regular already, but once she stepped through the door, it basically kickstarted the birth. So it was this kind of like security feeling for me.
Maybe a mental thing.
Yeah, yeah, that was really helpful. And yeah, in the hospital, it was amazing. Like, we didn't have to think or care, yeah, take care of anything. She would be there. She said that, oh yeah, she wants to give birth on this little stool. So they brought it. I didn't have to think about it. And so she knew my wishes, and she would be there to support me and bring my wishes to the hospital personnel.
That's actually really interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. I never really thought of all these things. I was always just thinking, okay.
Also, to me, like, it feels, I understand the support that a doula would provide, but somehow I'm thinking that it's a stranger in a very intimate situation
for me. I would want all this to come from my partner.
Yeah.
So he's the one kind of for me that knows everything. And even though I speak Finnish, we didn't speak Finnish during the birth at all. Like, the nurses in between would sometimes speak. Of course, I understood them, but I didn't even focus that much on what they were talking. I was focusing on my partner and on myself and kind of like on getting this baby out. Mm. So I didn't have the feeling that I would want another person there. I just wanted my partner to be kind of like the support person and to know everything that I wanted or I didn't want so that he can communicate it.
Mm.
Kind of like, so for me, kind of having a doula would be, I don't know. I just don't know where I would put her in this hole.
She was sitting behind next to my partner, basically. And yeah, for me, it was that I didn't want him to be that person who has to know everything, because I know that he wouldn't. He wasn't very interested in how this whole thing works. And he came along to the birth preparation class and he said that it was comforting to know, like, what's going on. But I knew that he wouldn't be the person who would be there, like, standing up for me. I needed him for the mental support to be calming me down. And that's what he's really good at always. So he needed to be at my side to tell me that everything's going to be fine. And then the doula was there to actually know my wishes and have a little bit of knowledge. She was actually also a midwife, so
I can definitely see the value in that. And also, I'm thinking now about my birth, and if I would have had a doula, would it have gone differently? Because there were several mistakes, like literal mistakes, that were made during my birth, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe if I would have had a doula, they wouldn't have been made.
Interesting, like, that you didn't think about it with your fear also to have someone there who would be actually like know before, because it's not a stranger. We met, I think, 3 times before birth, like our sessions, that we would talk, and we actually prepared the birth plan together. She gave some ideas. We talked about the different options. We talked about what will happen there, what they will do to the baby after it's born, and what they might do to me, which is like regular procedure, which doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, by nowadays research that maybe you have the conscious decision not to let them cut the cord right away or give the vitamin K or something.
They don't do that automatically.
No, in Finland they don't do that.
They don't cut the cord straight away.
No.
It's like a automatic thing, unless you request it, which nobody I think would, but they do not cut the cord.
Also, they don't wash them right away.
No,
that's true. Yeah,
I don't think I can't remember that they ever washed them, my kids.
I think they wiped them. But that was that was for me, it was really helpful. And I think when you have these kind of worries, especially, that's something to look into. It's not free. It's actually rather pricey. But yeah, it was definitely worth it for me, at least. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about it with another doula also in a future episode.
Yeah, but other things that you can get privately, I guess, like, you can always go to a psychologist if you have a depression, right?
But then also some pampering things.
Yes, pampering things. Well, it is pampering, but also if you're having serious back pains or other pains, it's not just pampering. You're actually like just treating yourself. So I, for example, went to this pregnancy massage. I was having a really bad back pain. And you can also go to osteopath.
Yeah, I was just wanting to mention the osteopath. A friend of mine, she mentioned to me really recently that like she would go to the osteopath every few weeks and it helped
me
immensely
too.
With the pain.
It was amazing.
Water retention and all these type of things that come up in the end of the pregnancy. So that's really good to know as well.
It is. And well, I go regularly because of my back condition, but also... For the pregnancy pain like I had with the first one, the SI joint, that was really, really painful. I could barely walk. My partner always still makes fun of me being like walking like a penguin. And that I visited maybe twice. No, actually, it was once I visited this osteopath in Tampere. And after that, I could walk pain-free until birth. One day before birth, I still went to play frisbee golf. So that was amazing. And also with the second one, I had pain and a couple of visits to the osteopath, and it helped a lot. That was great. Acupuncture? Did anyone try acupuncture?
Not before giving birth. I did it during the birth, kind of after the birth, because I had the issues actually both times to get the placenta out. It's one thing that nobody ever mentions to you. They always say, okay, you know, you're so focused on getting the baby out, but then you're like, okay, I'm done. But you're actually
not. You're not, no.
But did you do anything like before?
The one thing that I used is a Doppler machine. So I had one that I bought from Amazon really cheaply. And we didn't use it that often because I read that it's not healthy for the baby and for your own like mental health, because you can't, with these cheap machines, you can't always find a heartbeat and so on. But I was really lucky, and every time I used it, I found it and I wasn't like stressed out about it. But we use it every now and then, and sometimes I would play it via Skype for my parents so that they can also hear it. And it was very nice. It was very... kind of like calming, especially in the first part of the pregnancy where you can't really feel the baby move or anything.
So the Doppler machine is the machine that
they use in Nelvana.
Yeah, it's kind of like a small, it looks like an ultrasound a bit, like this head, and then you have kind of like the speaker where the sound comes out.
Yeah,
and
you can
hear
the baby's
heartbeat.
Yeah.
I had one myself as well, and I didn't use it often, but especially exactly during that time until you feel the baby move, which is rather late with the first one usually, that was quite nice, because you get the first ultrasound only at 12 weeks and then the next one only at 20 weeks, when usually this is the point when maybe it's like slowly the movement starts to be visible and feelable.
And this is it for now. Listen to the second part of this episode if you want to hear all about what happens during childbirth in Finland, and if Finnish hospitals will welcome you with open arms. Thanks for tuning in, and bye-bye.